Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Guilds of the North, where Yom still sucks and Steve still rules. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my illustrious co-hosts, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
The man, the legend. And B. Steve.
Evening, Paul.
The most upbeat Guild Ball player you'll ever meet. He's praying. He's praying this doesn't turn into the next Warhammer Fantasy for him. Steve's like the kiss of death to every game. The more he loves a game, the less likely it is to succeed. Oh, wait. No, we said I'd be positive. Sorry. I'm positive. Guild Ball's awesome. It's in a good place. Life is good. And to make sure it stays good, they've done a lot of changes this week. So we're going to discuss some of the Ratas. And we're also going to discuss some new and interesting stuff coming down the pipeline. What are they called again? Because my Game iPad just turned off and won't let me see it. Excellent. I don't know why I can no longer see the dock.
So those replace the Guild Plus cards.
Yeah. There we go. This just seems to be working again. Okay. A new take on that. It's a neat idea. I really like guild plots.
Guild identities.
Identities.
So, yeah, guild identities were kind of a beta for, I think, the guild plans.
Yeah. And this replaces both sets of cards, right? Guild identities never came to fruition. And this replaces the guild plots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what do we want to talk about first? Because both are interesting topics.
Well, we can continue on the game plan deck. Because you started with that, and then we can finish up with the farmers nerf erratas.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned the erratas first, but we can go with the game plan deck first. That's no problem. So, guys, why don't you give us a rundown, both you being pundits and officially up to speed on all this. Give us a rundown of what these cards are and how they work.
Me to go, Steve, or...
Well, as you wish.
Okay, I might introduce and interject when you know I screw up. So, okay. The game plan... what?
I was going to say, why don't you alternate sentences?
No.
Okay.
The game plan rules are there to replace, like we said, the guild plus and the guild identities that were in beta some months ago. So, all the works, during the pre-game sequence, you're gonna get 7 cards instead of the 5 you got for the guild plots, mm-hmm. and throughout 2 of those, so you will have a hand of 5 game plans. Once that's done, you put them aside and you forget them until the second turn.
I'm really good at forgetting cards, by the way.
But so that's fine.
I'm totally with you.
You won't have to remember them and remember to play them, because how they work, and that's a big change, they also replace the dice roll for the initiative. So initiative still work the same. You get your extra momentum from the last turn, and instead of adding the d6 to it, you will pick one of your game plans, one of the cards, and on the bottom left of them, there is an initiative modifier. That's one of the part. There's 3 part on the card. There's a overall special ability, initiative modifier, and an influence modifier. But the main part of this is the bottom left for the initiative. So that number is what will be added to your existing momentum pile.
Yeah, your remaining momentum from the previous turn.
There's
yeah.
also a fourth part, which is the name of the card.
Yeah. Technicality.
Oh my God, Steve. Steve will now be known as Yom for the rest of the podcast.
Hey, that's brutal, Paul.
Yeah. I cut deep, Steve. I cut deep.
So what you will do, you both pick in secret one of your game plan card, put it on the table, and you reveal at the same time. And that new total, that your initiative modifier and your remaining momentum, becomes your initiative roll. So, and you compare that to the other player to determine who is getting the initiative for the turn. The rest of the setup and initiative phase remains the same. So, Steve, what are the other two parts?
Well, also, it's not to mention that if it's still a tie after both players have shown their card, you still roll a dice to see who will get the initiative. And it's like before, even though you win the initiative, you have the higher number, you can still elect to go second.
You win the roll. You don't win the initiative. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You get to pick who is going first.
Exactly. So if you miscalculated and you thought like playing a card, you would go second, but you still go first, you can still opt to go second if you want. And the other part, there's some cards have influence modifier for that turn. So depending on mostly this is influenced by the effect of the card. If it's something really strong that's going to affect lots of player, usually it's going to remove one influence from your pool. And sometimes if it's like a low bonus initiative number, it might give you plus initiative, but it's only like either 0, plus 1, or minus 1. So it's not a big shift, but...
You meant plus influence, right? It might give you a bonus plus influence. Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
So it's not a big shift, but in some team, like Blacksmith that I've been playing lately, getting a plus 1 if you didn't manage to score means you're at... 13 influence instead of the basic 12, so it can help a lot.
Well, sure, influence. One influence is a big deal, right?
Yeah,
it's a big deal for everyone. So
that's why goal influence is good. So, all right, and then there's a third part.
Yeah, the third part is the overall effect. So that range from a big. Big section, like the first one, let's go with in order of them in the PDF that we have, seize the initiative. Starting with the player that has the initiative, both players can choose one friendly model to immediately make a 4 inches dodge. Which is good, but not that good because the opposing player also gets to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
However, it's compensated by being a plus 7 to your initiative roll. And we have not mentioned it, but the bonus to the initiative goes from plus 1 to plus 7. There's about 2 of each. It's not exactly that, but there's some variation in the number, but that's about what you get from plus 1 to plus 7. So that's one example, but there are some others, like the friendly team, dig deep, the friendly team gains 2 momentum points each time the enemy scores a goal. So playing against shark fish, that might be a good one to take.
but it also gives you a bonus influence, that card, and but it has a very low initiative modifier.
Yeah. So, do we want to go through the whole list?
We can. It's what, about 20 cards? 22 cards?
Yeah, something like 14. 15.
So. Oh, I thought it was more than that.
I think it's 20 because, like, you're dealt...
Oh, there are spares. That's true.
So, yeah.
All right.
So you already did the first one, which is seize the initiative. And also, it's not to mention that this one doesn't have an influence modifier.
Yeah. And then next on the list is sell it to the crowd. Each time a friendly model scores a goal, it can use run the length without spending MP. So that's pretty awesome. And this is a 6 initiative modifier. Minus 1 influence, though.
Yeah, that's why you said it. It's awesome, and it comes with a price.
Yeah. But that's a pretty small price to pay.
Yeah, well, especially if you're thinking about if you have the setup to score and you're trying to get the first turn, plus 6 will probably help you do that, and then you can dodge without spending that momentum and try to get some cover and keep safe your player who just scored.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Next one is called Lone Striker. And if your team has the initiative, the friendly model to activate suffer the first friendly model
the first
to
act- friendly, yeah.
Yeah, the first friendly model to activate suffer -1 attack for the remainder of the turn, and this one is +7 for the initiative and -1 for influence.
Yeah, this card kind of confused me because it seems to be a, like the effect seems to penalize the player.
It does.
Yeah.
Which I was not expecting when I first started reading through the deck. I was like, why would I ever want this card? But yeah.
Because you want to go first, +7.
Yeah. And I suppose in my case where I'm not really attacking people with my fish that much.
Or if you really wanted, like we played one game with the game plan cards as of yet. And in one of the turn, I really wanted it. However, I was playing Butcher, so my tech is pretty high anyway. And it wasn't a good setup. So I used one of my player that has already deck 6. I went down to 5. But with the other player placement, it was not that big of a negative. And I was still able to use the fact that I was going first.
Exactly. You know, in some cases, it's worth that sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
Especially that one, I was playing Mituk, which... After she hits once, she gives a -1 defense to the opponent, so it kind of cancels out the -1 tech.
Yeah. It's as we said before, it's a small price to pay.
Yep.
All right. What's next in the list?
So, next one is Grudge Match. Starting with the player that has the initiative, both players can choose one enemy squaddy. Squaddy is a new game term. It means a non-mascot, non-captain player model in the team. So one of the regular player in the opposing team. So you can choose one enemy squaddy model that is currently on the pitch, and that chosen model suffers singled out. So
right.
It affects both players. So you need to think about the board placement before using it, but it can be really a big change. Especially as it also has a +6 modifier initiative on it. So you probably will start the turn and start the turn with one of your opposing player being really easy to beat.
Yeah, in a bad position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if all you need is a takeout to win or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the card for you.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's another card I had in that game. So, poor Steve, I had all the...
I had all the lower initiative. I think the biggest one I had was +5 when we played our game.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's something important to mention. So let's say we do our initiative and I play Grudge Match at +6 and Steve plays... have we done any of the lower ones? We haven't really done any of the lower ones yet.
The next one is the low.
Okay, so... Okay, but... So I play a +6 or +7, and you play a +3, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
The effects, do they both take effect in the game? Or just the winning initiative?
Both cards affect the game. Influence modifier are in effect.
For that turn entirely.
That's important to mention because we hadn't really said that anywhere.
Yeah, so picking a lower initiative bonus might be a good thing because...
You may need the effect.
Yeah, you may need the effect. And the opponent might be also up on momentum anyway. So you might not want to burn one of your high initiative bonus cards. Because even if the opponent only have a mid-range bonus, you might still be able to win because of the basic momentum he adds.
Right. So there's a strategy there too.
Yep.
All right. So what was the next card in the deck?
Next card is Dig Deep, which I already mentioned, so you might as well go to the one after.
Well, we didn't...
Oh, we didn't mention the rest.
The effect and everything. We just mentioned the name.
No, I mentioned the effect, but... So Dig Deep, the friendly team gains 2 momentum points each time the opponent enemy team scores a goal. Okay. It has a really low initiative modifier of +2, but it also gives +1 influence.
So this is the one you're going to play if you know you cannot stub the goal. Like if you're playing against Paul and his Fisher.
Yeah, that would mean I'd actually have to take them out of their box. So chances are you're probably safe. I need to get some games in soon, Steve, so we'll have to talk. It's been too long. I think my my failure to go to SteamCon crushed my soul and pretty much ended my my love affair. So we need to fix that. All right. Who's up next to read?
You.
You.
Oh, me. Excellent. So I believe the next card is Hunker Down. While within the friendly half of the pitch, friendly models gain Resolute. When this model targets an enemy model with a counterattack, the model gains plus 2 attack for the duration of the counterattack. So this is a plus 1 initiative modifier, but it's also a plus 1 influence modifier.
Yeah. And this one is interesting because it's friendly models, so it's everything, everybody in your team that's in your half of the pitch.
It's a really good defensive card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know you're going to have a lot of hurt coming.
And if you're playing against like team like Butcher, who doesn't have who don't have much knockdown, or their knockdown is pretty high, you have a chance, a good chance to counterattack. So it's nice to have bonus
plus 2 days. Yeah, absolutely. Try to fish for that knockdown to knock them down before they can kill you,
or push them out so they won't be able to attack you again.
That is also true.
The next one is called the Offside Trap. An enemy model must spend one additional momentum point to make a shot or a snapshot. If it's the closer if it's closer to the friendly goalpost than any other model. This one is plus one initiative and plus one influence.
So basically, if your opponent is inside your defensive line and shooting at your goal, it makes it harder for them.
Exactly. It makes it
more costly.
If you manage to pass everybody of your defense line, you try to stop it, and he dodge away, and he's closer to your goal, then you get that. He gets that penalty,
right?
Kind of help a bit offset the plus one for being in what it snap-in range or something.
Yeah.
Tap in. Yeah, it doesn't modify the role, but it costs more to do it.
Yeah,
so. But. Actually, what it can do, though, it's help you since you will probably go second because of the plus one, or unless you're really big lead, but it's going to make them work a bit more if they want to score after they get the initiative, because they're going to need to generate two momentum instead of just one to get that goal. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's maybe even a chance that it will make them use another model
exactly.
To generate momentum before being able to score and give you the opportunity to take the ball back.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Next card is Back in the Game. The first time a friendly model suffers the taken out condition, before removing the friendly model from the pitch, any influence currently on the friendly model may be allocated to one other friendly model within 8 inches. It has a plus 4 initiative modifier, and it doesn't modify influence.
That's also a good ability. It seems well-priced for what it is.
Yeah, it's an interesting one if you're facing a BT team. And
it's situational, obviously.
You know one of your characters is in a bad position, but you're not sure they'll be able to take him out before you activate. So that can be a way to still put influence on a model that in theory you wouldn't do, because if you're not sure he's going to die, you might not put much in it. And if he doesn't end up being attacked because you didn't allocate influence, then you lost your chance to do anything meaningful with him. That's something we usually do, like your captain is down 4 or 5 health, you lost initiative against Buzzer, you won't put any influence on it because you're going to lose all those 6 points. But with that card, you can still put some and hope it doesn't die.
You're not risking.
Yeah,
exactly. So you can take a chance, and like if a model is at 6 or 8 hit point, then you play that and you can still allocate influence on him. So they have to make a decision whether they kill it now or wait later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Next one. Is it me?
No, Paul.
No, it's me.
Sorry.
Jeez, Steve. Okay.
I'm, I'm eager to read.
Yeah, well, this is one that this definitely applies to my team. Get back in there. Friendly models that return to the pitch due to Icy Sponge, because that happens to be like every turn, gain +2/+2 move. This is awesome for fish. Because I tend to use my fishermen like missiles. They go in, they score, then they die horribly. So this next turn when they come back in, they get to move back up the field and do it all over again. It's a +3 initiative modifier and a +0 influence modifier.
And also, it can be combined with fast ground if there's fast ground on the on your side of the pitch, mm-hmm. because usually it's on either side.
Sides, yep.
Yeah. So you can get +4 inches with the... Your fast fish?
Seems fair.
Yeah.
Fair and balanced, as they say. I like it.
Next one is called Fullback. The first time a friendly model declares a charge while within 8 inches of the edge of the fish, pitch. Sorry.
Of the fish. We're talking too much about fishermen.
Yeah, exactly. Of the pitch, the friendly model spend one less influence, and it's +5. Initiative modifier and +0 for influence modifier. So that's pretty good. Basically, this is exactly one of the previous plot cards that was giving that ability.
Yeah, and it's also the effect on some players, like Veteran Brisket has that.
Yeah.
So she can now charge for free if you combine that with her ability.
Yeah, that's true. So it's sneaky.
Oh, it's stacks. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at Antoine always looking ways to break the game.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. Make my one ball score charge for free. Wow.
Well, if she has the ball.
Yeah, I know. I know it can be useful. And with a +5, it's a pretty high one. So that can be useful too. Next up,
all right.
Go for the knees. Choose one friendly non-captain model that is currently on the pitch, and that chosen model gains +1 attack. So that's... It also has a +5 initiative modifier and no influence modifier. So it's a good mid to higher range initiative card that gives you a bonus on attack. So
yeah. I just want to say it should have been called Sweep the Leg. But...
but
opportunity
also-
missed.
Also, it's non-captain, so you can play. You can choose a mascot with that card.
Yeah, it's not Squatty for this one. So.
Yeah.
Ooh. Tactical Salt.
Yeah, or the Murder Kitty.
No, if you're gonna actually do it seriously, yeah, the Murder Kitty. I mean, Salt's threat is not exactly, you know.
Or what is the other big crazy one? The Quaff and the donkey that can push you like
The donkey
million
is-
inches away.
Yeah, the donkey can push when he attacks.
Yeah. Multiple places where you can use it. And +1 is good on everyone. Let's be honest. +1 attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You cannot go wrong with that one.
Nope. Absolutely not. All right. It's me, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Midfield general. Friendly models gain +1/+1 move. So, little bonus. It's a +3 to the initiative modifier and 0 influence modifier.
It's also all friendly models.
Yeah. It's good. I don't know if it's necessarily game-changing, which is probably why it's only a 3.
It let me score a goal last game.
But yeah, no. It situationally game-changing, yeah. But not game-breaking is kind of what I meant. No, definitely a good card. For 3, it's a good value. But chances are you're giving up initiative, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I push 3, yeah. Or you use it if you are really in advance. If you really need the extra movement.
Yeah, or you got a pile of momentum and you think you can outbid anyway.
Yeah.
And the next one is keep the ball moving. Friendly models gain +1/+0 kick. And this one is at +4. And it gives you +0 for influence. So another one... mid-initiative modifier at +4, but it can be a good bonus if you like to generate some momentum and pass the ball around pretty good, because like if you have lots of 2-6 player on your team, they suddenly go to 3-6, which makes it more attractive to do to play the ball game.
Or even if you have the ball on a player that's not necessarily a striker, you know, a scorer, you might decide, well, you know, giving him an extra die, suddenly maybe he can score.
Yeah. Or right? Discard with a couple. Bonsa. Yeah, Bonsa, but also Pin Vice on a legendary turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bonsa, Pin Vice, Piper. All models that can make others shoot and do combined passes. I can see being really good.
Well, even Union with Black Art or Mist plus one kick, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't Season Brisket have something for other to kick?
Yeah, I believe so. I was just thinking about that.
Black Art has that. No, Black Art.
Okay.
Oh, I thought she had that too.
She has other people can move and not shoot, I think.
I think right. She has I'm open though.
Maybe. I thought the new Black Art had it. Well, whatever. It's good. So, next one. Keep your chin up. The first time a friendly model uses Come on Mate, it may do so without spending momentum. And Come on Mate being the either removing momentum or healing a friendly model with an 8 inches. So this one has a +4 initiative modifier and no influence modifier.
So basically it gives you 3 free momentum.
Why would you want 3 free momentum?
Why being 3? Facetious. Isn't it 2?
2 free momentum, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
My bad.
I was not too sure. Yeah, if you know you want to heal your models and you don't really push for the initiative, that's a good one to go for.
Mm.
+4 is mid-range, so you're not sacrificing it, but you're not really pushing for it. And
yeah, exactly.
You can heal without going all in with your first activation, so that's good.
Yeah. I'm up next, but just to settle the discussion, Season Brisket does have I'm open.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, no problem. So next up, won't touch the hair. Choose one friendly squatty model that is currently on the pitch. The chosen model gains poised. So once per turn, this model may make a counterattack without spending MP. And it's a +3 initiative and a +1 influence. So it's not a bad card. But
it's +1 influence.
Yes, so you exactly.
You get a free ability +1 influence, so that's not too bad. But it's only +3 for initiative, so you either sacrifice your initiative or you don't go for a big card because you're so ahead in the momentum race.
Yep.
Next one, we have wingbacks. Each time a friendly model activate within 8 inches of the edge of the pitch, the friendly model gains shadow-like, which means you have a 2-inch dodge at the beginning of your activation. And it's within 8 inches of an edge of the pitch, so it's any of the 4 edges of the pitch. So if you have a model in deep end that just scored and he's within 8 inches of the other player's edge, you can use that as well. And same for your gold side. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, I really like this card. I think it's a neat use of the ability.
My main problem with that card is the name, because Wingback is the name of the ability that let you charge for 1 less.
Oh.
Yeah.
So might just be a tad confusing.
Yeah, I thought that was odd they reused the name. But yeah.
There's an S added there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But still.
I don't know if Steve mentioned this, but it's a +4 initiative and +0 influence card.
No, I don't think I had mentioned it, Paul.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No problem. I'm there for you, buddy.
So next is me.
Yeah.
Yep. So stick to the plan. Friendly models gain showboating. So showboating is this model spends one less momentum point to make teamwork action. So all the passes and the stamp shot. This
That's really good.
Gives you plus 5 initiative and minus 1 influence.
Yeah. Honestly, this card is pretty awesome. I think definitely worth the price of admission.
Yeah, this is really good.
You could have called it the bigger hat.
Bigger hat. Biggest hat, yeah.
Well, this is one of the good ones.
Definitely.
One influence is okay to pay for the reward you get for it.
Absolutely. All right, next up. Kick them when they're down. Friendly squatty models gain shove the boot in. Where are they shoving the boot in? This model gains plus 1 damage to playbook damage results while targeting enemy model that is suffering the knockdown condition. It is a plus 2 initiative modifier and a minus 1 influence modifier. I mean, this is not terribly good for my team.
No,
but I could definitely see this being good for
Brewers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it's enough to bring Yom back to the game with his Brewers, but...
I don't think so.
I think it comes at a high price, though.
Yes.
Yeah, you're sacrificing your initiative, let's face it, and that minus 1 influence is going to suck for a lot of teams. But it can still be very good. I think it's probably worth it for a Brewers player, to be honest. Or any beatstick player with lots of beatstick team with a lot of knockdowns.
Yeah.
I think... The board state will let you know if it's worth it. If there's already a bunch of players down, it's the time to use it before they get all up.
Yep. Absolutely.
But if nobody is down, I'm not sure it's worth using it, except if you have really easy access to knockdowns and they're not removing your other options using it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right.
Sure. And that was the last one.
Yeah, that finished that.
And for those who didn't add up the numbers while we were reading the cards, it's you have 2 cards at plus 7, 2 cards at plus 6, 3 cards at plus 5, 4 cards at plus 4, 3 cards at plus 3, 2 cards at plus 2, and 2 cards at plus 1. So that's kind of a curve. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you did there.
So
well done, Steve.
Thank you.
So what's your overall first opinion about that?
First impression. Well, I haven't played with it, so I'm just going to talk a bit first that you guys can discuss because you actually have some real experience. I am a little dubious about it. I like the idea they're trying. I like the fact you won't be able to forget to use the cards because you have to play one every turn.
Yeah.
So for me, who always forgets that I had those cards.
The guild plots, yeah.
Yeah, the guild plots, this will help. I just don't know. I just don't know if I like kind of where the direction it takes the game. I think maybe it's also, it's a little bit more board gamey, a little less miniature gamey in some ways. And they've said that's kind of where they want to go, so I guess that makes sense. I have to play it to see, to make a real informed decision. So, guys, what did you think? You tried it out.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed feeling because the card I got were a really low number, and I didn't get the high number. So, kind of screwed me because, like, even though score was close on initiative, like Antoine was up by 2, I kind of knew that even though I played, like, I only had a plus 5, so losing by 2 and trying to put my plus 5s, and if he had, like, a plus 4 or 5, he would outscore me quite easily. So I felt I have less chance of getting the initiative.
Absolutely.
Because of the card I add instead of the dice roll.
Statistically speaking, I don't know if that's really true.
Oh, I know.
It may give the illusion, like it may make you feel that way, But if he's up by 2 on a die roll of 1 to 6, I mean, your chances of getting initiative are not that great to begin with, right?
I know, but I like the illusion.
But at least there's some chance. With him only having a +5, he was down. If I wanted the initiative, I was sure to have at least a +3 to at least tie in my whole hand.
Right, so, but that's no different than a dice roll, right?
Yeah, but so with the dice roll, you don't know. But with his +5 being only two down, he knew it. He couldn't really make it.
Well, except he doesn't know what's in your hand.
Well,
but he already had a bunch of the low cards, and there are not that many high ones.
Yeah, like with my 7 cards I drew, I knew I didn't have any +6 or +7. So I knew that odds were that Antoine had at least 1 or 2.
Yeah, it lets you make a prediction now. Whereas before it was completely random, now it kind of lets you do a projection.
So
which is kind of good in that it takes some of the randomness out, but it does make you feel like you have less of a chance, right?
In my situation, I felt I had less of a chance to have the initiative.
Yeah.
So I felt I was more on the back pedal and choosing to play more, always more defensive card.
But the idea is also that the lower value cards have better effects, generally speaking, right? So I guess you didn't feel like that balanced out at all?
Well, it didn't felt like that in the game we played, but maybe with more. We only played one game with those cards.
Sadly, the timing was that good. We
weren't looking. Yeah, I'm not saying your opinion's invalid, Steve. I was just curious. Because I didn't play it, right? So I kind of want to get your thoughts. That's interesting, Antoine. How did you feel with it?
A couple of points. First, I don't like that it add time to the game. I can easily go into overthinking mode, and the selection is done outside of the clock. So for the last 2 turns of the game, it was fine, and I was able to select fast. But with the board state, when we did the first selection of the card, so at the beginning of the second turn, a lot of my cards had possibly a good use, but all of them had drawbacks too. So picking the card was, I think, was really wrong.
You got stuck in the tank.
Yeah, but that's outside of the clock, so that's all on me. Steve already had picked, but I'm stalling the game doing that. So I really don't like it. I don't know how it could be adjusted, though. Either putting the station on your initiative.
Yeah, but it gives an unfair advantage
to the other opponent who can use it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I'm not sure. Because 2 of the 3 times I had to pick, it was fine. But the first one was long, was really long. The other 2 wasn't that bad, if I remember correctly, Steve.
Yeah.
But the first one
took around 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, so that's a long time.
Yeah, do you feel that would get better, though, with familiarity?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, probably, but in that case, I had really a lot of good cards. And with good, I had a lot of high initiative modifier, so the choice between them was present. It's not like I wanted the initiative, but could cancel out, like, some of the good effects were on lower initiative. It was not the case. They were all high, and I was up in momentum anyway. So all the cards were open in my selection.
So, right.
It doesn't help that I can be more slow in those times, but I'm not sure. I'm sure experience would help, but
not sure how much.
Yeah, I don't know how much. Okay. So that's my first point. The other part is I'm not sure I like the deterministic nature of it. I like the die roll for the initiative. You already have your way to modify the game's the initiative state by using your momentum or saving it during the turn. So I don't know how much of that initiative modifier was required there.
Hmm.
Outside of that, I like the influence modifier and the effects. It makes me think of the GICs, the
yep.
guild identity plots. And by using it at the start of your turn, by declaring it and knowing that you have that effect up for the rest of the turn, I find that a lot more easier to remember during the game than trying to remember which guild plots you had and trying to look at them and don't forget one of the trigger. So I always forget at least once in my game to trigger one of my cards. And sometimes it might come back into effects later, but sometimes it doesn't. So I'm lukewarm about the whole idea right now.
Okay. So we'll have to play some more games and reevaluate then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they did the GICs in beta, I think. It would have been a good idea to do the game plans in beta form, too.
It's funny they chose not to, eh?
Well, yeah. I think they went to the internal playtesting, and they have some players that do playtesting as well. So I think this one, they wanted to keep it more...
close to the vest.
Close, or... yeah. Less in the open and more close for the release.
Yeah, but internal playtesting... sorry, I just wanted to check something.
Yeah, yeah, go.
Internal playtesting has been shown to be less than ideal for a lot of these things. I mean, the famous quote is War Machine, right? 3 years of internal playtesting. And when they launched Mark III, it was disaster. Internal playtesters don't necessarily exploit the rules the way competitive players do.
No, but I know they have a small group of outside players that have access to material as well.
Yeah. But the larger the sample size, the better your results are going to be, right? So, anyway. Well, we'll have to see how it unfolds.
So, but it's the way to go now, so...
Yeah.
This will be out by the time we post the podcast. On March 8th.
People have already seen some of them because they were in one of the
stream today.
Public stream, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we will launch this on the embargo date of the 8th to try to be as relevant as possible. But yeah, like you said, people have already seen it. And you know what? It's only for a season. If it doesn't work out next season, we'll do something else.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is, yeah. Both a boon and a curse, I think.
Well, the guild plots did change season to season, between each season, so.
Yep. No, definitely. All and right.
Speaking of change. Wow. Yeah. Paul, what a great segue.
Yeah, well, I try.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, we saw some changes earlier this week. And I actually missed this. I knew they were talking about changes. I didn't realize they'd come through. Sadly, I'm a little out of touch. Steve, Antoine, do you want to go over what happened to the poor farmers?
Go, Steve. Yeah, you know them better than me.
Well, the farmer got a bit of toned down because some of... their player were a bit too strong and stronger than they were intended.
Nerf. I think the term you look for is nerfed.
I was trying to be politically correct, but they got it with the nerf bat.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's Thresher, Millstone, and Tater.
Yeah.
We kind of knew it was coming. Especially Thresher, because it was almost a no-brainer in every game that was played with Farmer.
And well, it's like Shark used to be, right?
Sorry, you spoke both at the same time.
Yeah,
Paul was go.
I just said it's kind of like how Shark used to be, right?
Yeah. And also, it was like too good at doing killing and scoring and everything.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's too good at doing everything. There was no drawback to choosing him.
Exactly.
Especially combined with their harvest marker, the way it was supposed to be played as a limiting factor for the guild. And in the end, it was not that limiting.
Yeah, exactly. On the pitch. I think it was meant more as a resource for you to use during the turn. The way they did change those two players, I think it makes you more use them carefully, your harvest marker, and for the placement as well. So let's start with Old Man Thresher. Basically, what happened is his playbook changed. He went from a 6-column-long playbook to a 7-column-long playbook, which is the same as his stack. I don't think we should go over all the column because it's not really interesting for radio.
Yeah, well, basically, the important thing is they pushed that 4 momentous damage out to the 7th column, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the big change.
And also, he got a dodge on his first knockdown because on the back of his card, the ability called Sighting March, he used to be able to do a dodge when he was knocking a model down. And now it's that ability is now the ability that gives him a 3-inch melee zone for his activation. Right. As before, he had it for free. So now if you want to have 3-inch melee, you need to be within 2 inches of an harvest marker and you remove it from the pitch. So now he consumes the harvest marker to get the 3-inch reach for his activation. And also, on the front of his card, he has Don't Fear the blank, but it's Don't Fear the Reaper. It used to be 4 inches of a harvest marker, and now it's 2 inches of an harvest marker to do the ability. And you still remove it as well.
Yeah.
The other change that he had is to do his counterattack. It used to be 4 inches of an harvest marker, and now it's it's at 2 inches of the harvest marker.
Yeah, so they really shortened his threat ranges.
Yeah, and it also makes you need more harvest marker as well.
Yeah, so if he's more resource hungry, and yeah.
And their position is they need to be closer to the opponent, so easier to remove by the opponent, because they just have to charge or sprint through them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So by being further up the field, they're easier for the opponent to reach and remove. So it's a good thing, I think. After that, we have Millstone. She got a couple of changes in her stat line. First one, she lost 1 point of armor. And she also lost one of the influence points she generates. So she's down to armor 1 and down to influence 2/3. So she still have her 3 maximum, but she generated 1 less.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Usually when we've seen these adjustments, we've seen the second number change as well.
It's either the first one or the second one that changed. I remember Chank, he changed. He generated the same amount, but his maximum dropped 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the time that's what we see in models, but
I'm trying to think. What happened with Siren? Siren lost
1 max 2.
One max 2.
Yeah,
Silence lost 1 generating point.
Okay, because I was going to say, I didn't remember anyone ever losing a generating point, only the maximum spend points, so.
Yeah, Silence went from 3-4 to 2-4, I think.
No, it was 2-4.
It was generating 3 in the first season.
Oh, but a Silence. Oh, yeah, it was. It was 3-4. Yeah, right. You're right.
So
he dropped as well.
All right. So what else do we see?
And there's one other change on the back of our card. Take one for the team. It went from being 6 inches aura to 4.
Right.
So once again, it makes them play closer together, or so they can spread out as much and use their harvest marker closer. So
yeah, it sucks. It sucks when your aura range of effect gets reduced.
Yeah. Well, Shark deserved it, Paul.
I don't know what you're talking about. You leave my shark alone. Okay.
And the last one who changed on the farmer team is Pretty Boy Tater. What changed is mostly it's wording as well. He used to be able to do a counter charge when he was within 4 inches of the harvest marker. And now it's 2 inches of the harvest marker, and you remove the harvest marker as well if you do the counter charge. And they changed the wording as well, so it's not called a counter charge like the ability, because they changed the wording to sweeping charge. And he used to be able to do 3 damage to all model in his melee zone when he charged, but now they change it to when he charged but in his activation. So you cannot do the additional 3 damage when you charge from a counter charge out of your normal activation.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. So again, since you remove an harvest marker as well, so it plays more with the resources. And the millstone loss of influence means that if you do a team with the donkey and everything, you go down to like 11 or 10 influence, I think. I think it's 11.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, that's a huge difference between 11 and 12. And then,
but you can still generate them with the with some of the markers. So.
Yeah, yeah, but you generate the influence if you plant enough harvest marker, but now you remove them as well during your turn. So
yeah, you remove more of them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll have less to play with.
Resource management will become very important.
Yeah.
Or even more important. Mm. And I wonder if they're going to feel resource starved now.
It's going to be less than a no-brainer as before.
Yeah. It'll add tactical depth. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That sounds good.
That's what they also mentioned when they released the Arata. The developer notes mentioned that they were a bit too easy to play, too beginners friendly. Like they were supposed to be a bit harder to play with.
To master?
Yeah, to master, play with the resource and how you had to position them and everything. And it was too easy to do. So makes sense.
It's funny because if you look at the blacksmiths, right? There's a lot of depth there in how the team plays and the planning and, you know, the captain and all that stuff. So it was kind of a funny contrast to go from the farmers to that. It was very extreme.
Yeah. But I think they were supposed to both have that difficulty to them. And I think the blacksmith have more of it. Or add more of it compared to the farmer who now have to work with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was kind of getting at. The whole the reward you get from playing more with the team and you know, figuring out the mechanics, the payoff was a lot easier to get to with the farmers than it was with the blacksmiths, right? Yeah,
for sure. Because now you basically, if you want to have 3-inch melee and do the counterattack, you'll lose 2 harvest marker, which means you'll potentially lose 2 influence next turn. So,
and they both have to be within 2 inches of your
exactly. So,
of your model, so that's tough.
But they're going to be a bit more layback than in your face, I think.
Yeah, setup is going to be very important, right? Setting up those harvest markers. You have to plan ahead. It's going to be very interesting. There's a lot of tactical depth there now.
Well, I think it's also going to maybe discourage a couple of people who were using easy button with treasure, and we probably are gonna see a bit more of Grange.
People which
are
is good.
Yeah, which is good because people are gonna want to try them out, and it's gonna be good for diversity.
I mean, it was good for fishermen, so it should be good for these guys too.
Yeah. Speaking of fish, wow, Paul, two in segways.
Yeah, I know.
Paul, the king of the segway.
That's my name.
Go ahead, since you're the one who's affected by that.
Well, no, actually, I'm not affected by it because I never played Avarice and Greed.
I know.
But your team is affected by it, so...
Yes, my team is affected by
your guild.
This is true. Yeah, so Fish lost the ability to take Avarice and Greed.
That's it.
So, yep, sad face. Now, honestly, long term, this doesn't really change anything because once the minor guild came out anyway, we were going to lose the ability to use any union model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, realistically...
It's just coming a bit earlier.
That's yeah, all. Exactly. So I'm okay with this. Now, I think the reasoning behind it was that it basically made Corsair too much of a beat stick.
Yeah, because the single... I think probably it's because the singled out from Avarice and Greed, and it's more... they could beat player down and generate momentum and beat player down, so... Plus, the one you have on Corsair means Fish could turn into a beating team instead of a scoring team, and they wanted to try to mitigate that, I think.
Yeah, because Fish is a beating team, just doesn't make much sense. They already can beat a little bit, but you know they're no butchers, and they shouldn't be. Even with the attrition lineup, you know, you do a little bit of damage, you push some stuff around. But you're not really doing tons of takeouts.
You need a goal to keep the edge.
So I understand why they wanted to prevent that from happening, right? It's not in the design space.
Exactly.
It wasn't the design intent, I should say.
Exactly.
All right.
And we're done.
Is there anything else we'd like to discuss this cast?
Well, we also got to see the preview of the cards of two Ratcatcher models, Scourge and Pelage. But I think we should reserve our thoughts when we see the entire Ratcatcher guild and do another podcast on for those. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. And was that... How did you pronounce that name?
Pelage?
Yeah.
Pillage?
No, Pelage. No,
Pelage.
Which is a fur coat. In French.
Oh, sorry. I hadn't seen the character. How's the name spelled?
P-E-L-A-G-E. Oh. The French way.
Yeah. Okay. I thought Steve was just, you know, using his sexy French accent on the word pillage.
No, I was not.
So I was like, ooh. I love it when you talk that way, Steve.
Steve Forge used a sexy French word.
Well, you know, look at them. They are European, I suppose. We should expect that from them. Fancy cultural people. Yeah, so we'll save that for our next cast, which hopefully won't be 3 months from now. When do those cards go live?
Thursday this week. So in 2 days.
Oh, boy. So we're going to try to do 2 casts this week?
No.
I thought you were talking about the game plans. We don't have a specific date for the rat catchers yet.
Yeah.
All right. So it gives me a few days to edit and record a new episode. Okay, no problem. Yeah. I can do this. All right. Well, I guess that's a wrap for this show, guys. And thanks for coming on. And I will see you next time.
Bye, Paul.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom He's at Yo Master. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast, a podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.